I can feel someone pulling her from my back. I turn and see Gale has lifted Prim off the ground and she's thrashing in his arms. "Up you go, Catnip," he says in a voice he's fighting to keep steady, and then he carries Prim off toward my mother. I steel myself and climb the steps.
"Well, bravo!" gushes Effie Trinket. "That's the spirit of the games!"
She's pleased to finally have a district with a little action going on in it.
"What's your name?"
I swallow hard. "Katniss Everdeen," I say.
"I bet my buttons that was your sister. Don't want her to steal all the glory, do we? Come on, everybody, let's give a big round of applause to our newest tribute,"
trills Effie Trinket. To the everlasting credit of the people of District 12, not one person claps. Not even the ones holding betting slips, the ones who are usually beyond caring. Possibly because they know me from the hob, or knew my father, or have encountered Prim, who no one can help loving. So instead of acknowledging applause, I stand there, unmoving, while they take part in the boldest form of dissent they can manage. Silence. Which says, we do not agree. We do not condone. All of this is wrong. Then something unexpected happens. At least, I don't expect it, because I don't think of District 12 as a place that cares about me. But a shift has occurred since I stepped up to take Prim's place, and now it seems I have become someone precious. At first one, then another, then almost every member of the crowd touches the three middle fingers of their left hand to their lips and holds it out to me. It is an old and rarely used gesture of our district, occasionally seen at funerals. It means thanks. It means admiration. It means goodbye to someone you love. Now I am truly in danger of crying, but fortunately, Haymitch chooses this time to come staggering across the stage to congratulate me.
"Look at her! Look at this one!"
he hollers, throwing an arm around my shoulders. He's surprisingly strong for such a wreck.
"I like her!"
His breath reeks of liquor, and it's been a long time since he's bathed.
"Lots of..."
He can't think of the word for a while.
"Spunk,"
he says triumphantly.
"More than you!"
He releases me and starts for the front of the stage.
"More than you!"
he shouts, pointing directly into a camera. Is he addressing the audience, or is he so drunk he might actually be taunting the Capitol? I'll never know, because just as he's opening his mouth to continue, Haymitch plummets off the stage and knocks himself unconscious. He's disgusting, but I'm grateful. With every camera gleefully trained on him, I have just enough time to release the small, choked sound in my throat and compose myself. I put my hands behind my back and stare into the distance. I can see the hills I climbed this morning with Gale. For a moment, I yearn for something. The idea of us leaving the district, making our way in the woods. But I know I was right about not running off. Because who else would have volunteered for Prim? Haymitch is whisked away on a stretcher, and Effie Trinket is trying to get the ball rolling again.
"What an exciting day!"
she warbles as she attempts to straighten her wig, which has listed severely to the right.
"But more excitement to come! It's time to choose our boy tribute!"
Clearly hoping to contain her tenuous hair situation, she plants one hand on her head as she crosses to the ball that contains the boys' names and grabs the first slip she encounters. She zips back to the podium, and I don't even have time to wish for Gale's safety when she's reading the name.
"Peter Mellark!"
Peter Mellark? Oh no, I think. Not him. because I recognize this name, although I have never spoken directly to its owner, Peter Mellark. No, the odds are not in my favor today.